good afternoon or good evening.
Evening.
How are you doing?
Doing good. I'm in the middle of baking challah, though. You know, we're having that Shabbaton this weekend, and so we need challah for Friday night and Saturday. So I've got 8 little ones made and on my 4th big one. So hopefully that'll be enough.
Well, as long as we're being recorded, I will mention to you that the Kabbalists use 12 challot at each meal. Six
meals. I know, from the 12. From the 12 loaves, I guess, of showbread.
Yes. But also it's a way of taking control of the astrological influence for the week.
Ah. Well, and it doesn't matter if 8 are small and the 4 are the big. I figured
the small one,
since we're having a Shabbat dinner, it's actually to teach them how to do a Shabbat dinner. And at Tu B'Shvat, when I made big loaves for each table, it was too much. So I thought I'd do the little ones for Friday night. And then for Shabbat on Saturday morning or Saturday, probably about 12:15 or so, then I think they're going to serve themselves and then be seated. So for that, I thought the big ones, after the motzi, they'd be sliced and then they'll probably serve themselves. I think that's what the person was planning to do that was in charge of that part. But I did get him to put in the third meal. That's the first time ever.
Oh, Hashem.
So,
there should be 6 male and 6 female, and they should be put in the form of the Yitke Babke.
You mean the loaves?
Yes.
Okay.
There should be 3 UK Vavkes on the table, one on the right, one on the left, one in the center.
Okay. Okay. I thought it was when you cut, when the father or the leader cut, they made a specific, you know, they put 2 together and then with the knife cut, I don't know, is it the yod? Mm-hmm.
You don't actually cut. You do take 2 potential slices of the challah, but you actually, to have a knife on your Shabbat table for the challah is incorrect. You don't need judgment in the frame of Shabbat at all.
Mm-hmm.
Any knife is a form of judgment.
Okay, well, the Hasidic rabbi told us that it didn't matter because Shabbat, because in fact it was the opposite, but but you know, with this group, I'm just lucky that we can get.
Giving you information.
Yeah. I need it. So, you know, because they do look to me. They'll call and ask me. Like one wanted to know, was there such a thing as kosher candlesticks? And I said yes. You know, you're not supposed to use tea lights. And come to find out, that's what she wanted to know, because she had a candlestick, you know, the ones that are travel, the little tiny ones, and it was with tea lights. So,
why aren't you supposed to use tea lights?
It's just something I read or studied a long time ago, and it came out of my head when she asked it, so... What I'm wondering is what's going to happen if the candles are still burning and the meal is over. I never have really paid attention to how long they last, because I use different kinds. Sometimes I use just the straight sticks, and other times I use those glass little vials that, you know, with the oil. And, surely can't leave candles burning and everybody gone. So,
sure you can. You're doing a mitzvah. There can be no damage from a mitzvah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So there's never a problem leaving little candles burning on Shabbat.
Okay.
And the reason that tea lights are not used is because they don't last long enough. You need to have at least, I think it's 30 minutes plus the 18 minutes prior to the Shabbat itself.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to, they have to last 48 minutes minimum, and it's better to figure about an hour.
Mm-hmm.
And a tea light doesn't last that long.
Okay.
And let us continue or start. We're reading from the Parsha of Shlach Lecha in the Zohar, section 28. He who is small is great. Verse 2:10. Vayehi Noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu maaseh adeinu konenei aleinu maaseh adeinu konenehu. Yi Rabbi kama chatim milin migoy rav matimta zakai hu ma diazera tame tahai alma kama yihu Rav v'ila'a v'ha'hu Alma v'haki patach Rav v'tivta Man v'ivu z'er Yihu Rav U'man v'ihu Rav v'ihu Z'er t'ipi V'yihu ha'yesara Mea shana v'ezrim Shana v'sheva shanim Me'adihu hashbon, heshbon rav. Giti be'shana ze'iru de'shanim, chadazir ze'e ze'ir le'sheva dihu heshbon ze'er asgele. Veribi le'diktiv, sheva shanim tachatzi de'la. Rabbe kutcha barichu, ela lida ze'ir, la ze'ir ela dit rabbe, zaka'ai hu man, di azir garme b'chai alma, tamai hu rav b'iluya, b'ha'hu alma. O Rabbi, how new are these matters of the head of the yeshiva? Praised is he who humbles himself in this world. How great and lofty is he in that world? That is how the head of the yeshiva began. He who is small is great, and he who is great is small. As it is written, and Sarah was 100 year, and 20 year, and 7 years old. These were the years of Sarah's life. 100, since it is a large number, is written with a year. The least number of years, it was diminished to 1. 7, that is a small number, is increased and made bigger by writing 7 years in the plural. Come and see that the Holy One, blessed be He, made one great only if it had belittled himself. And the Holy One, blessed be He, belittled only he who is haughty. Praised is the one that humiliates himself in this world. How exultingly great is he in his elevation in that world. The world of Zerandin, the world of heaven, the world of Yitzhak or the formation. All of these terms are revolving or describing that we generally call spiritual. That world is upside down relative to our world. Or a more accurate way to express it is our world is upside down to that world. There is a story about a rabbi in the Talmud that his son had woken up from a dream with a very disturbed look on his face. Father asked his son what he had dreamed, and his son expressed that he saw a world much like our world, but upside down. He saw people who were important in our world that he knew that were garbage collectors in that world, and that people that he knew were garbage collectors and charity solicitors for themselves, that those people were actually the important people in the world of his dream. And he couldn't quite understand the dream or the meaning. And his father explained to him that the worlds are upside down relative to each other. And those who are haughty, those who are, think of themselves as large in this world and important in this world, are really unimportant in the spiritual world. And those who think of themselves as poor and unimportant and humble are those that are important in the next world. Verse 2:11. Ad haki shamu shirata diyama vikol imu dila shamu miyomadi itbariu kol imu dishirata kehahud imu dahavo amre vikatsiyuma Hashem Yimiloch Leolam Vayed Tamu Dalet Min Birkiya Vechad Minayhu Rav Ila'a Nekuhu Vehahu Rav Ila'a Minayhu Eat Arkala Viamarko Amar Hashem Zakarti Lachesed Neurayich Ahavat Gelulotayich Vigomer Shat Birkia Vian Adnin Kamachara Avatre Viamar Vicholachi Yivrim Vaderech Lo Yedahu Bin Tivot Lo Yadu The Gomer, the Yem, the Shat, the Kia, the While they were talking, they heard the song of the sea in the most exquisite voice that was ever heard, since the sweet voice of chanting was created. As this sweet sound is which it was said, when they finished, Hashem shall reign forever and ever. They noticed four images of men in the heavens, and one of them was greater and higher above all of them. That greater and loftier of all raised his voice and said, Thus says Hashem, I remember in your favor the devotion of your youth. Your love is a bride. He flew into the firmament and was hidden. And another one rose after him and said, And I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. He finished and flew into the firmament and was hidden. This verse is the last of the verse of this section. It's actually leading into the next section, which we don't have time to do. Oh, actually, we do have time. It's called Section 29, The Dead of the Wilderness. But this verse of the Zohar is bringing some very different verses in the Torah that are not easy to understand. They're verses where the first part of the verse doesn't relate logically to the second part of the verse. So let us see what the next section has to bring. Verse 2:12, section 29 is the dead of the wilderness. Petach idach ve'amar v'shushum idbar v'tziyah v'tagel arava v'tifrach v'chav v'tzalet v'shat birkiyah v'yagniz petach idach ve'amar ko amar Hashem Bora'acha Yaakov Gomer Ko Amar Hashem Anotem Bayam Derech Uvmayim Azim Nativa Gomer Hika Bedeni Kayat Asadeh Danim Ubnot Yana Gomer Tiyem Vishaat Birkia, the Agnes Kedain de Filu, Sagi the Emtani, Nafal Alaihu. The other one opened with, the wilderness and the arid land shall be glad, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom like the tulip. He flew into the firmament and was hidden. Another one opened the discussion, saying, But now thus says Hashem that created you, O Jacob. Thus says Hashem who makes a way in the sea and a path in the mighty waters. The beasts of the field shall honor me, the jackals and the owls. He concluded and flew into the firmament and disappeared. Then they were overtaken with an awesome fear. The last verse in the last section, and this verse, is describing these four images of men who were in the sky that were seen by the two rabbis. And these images, each of these images spoke and brought different verses of Torah, and it is really not clear what is the relationship of these verses. Verse 2:13. Kad hava nahir yamama kala itar b'mil kadmin v'yamara ma takifa v'yarye gibarin Kim Marin Avu Yakar Lamarechon Diktiv Al Kane Yakabaducha Amz Az Vagomer Sham U Kol Helin Uma Shiryan Dahava Amre Lecha Hashem Hagedula, the Hagmura, the Hati Ferret, the Hanetzach, the Hahot, the Gomer, Ad Umromam, Alko, Dracha, Utila, Alku, the Azlu, Ad Kaki, Nahar, Yamama, Adru, Yeresha, the Kamu, Kol, Matara, Kafe, the Anane, Yekar menacharan, menat samna tigvavmin, tagin. When the daylight broke, a voice rose again and said, A nation strong as a lion, powerful as tigers, give honor to your master as it is written. Therefore shall the strong people glorify you. They heard the sound of legions and encampments that said, Yours, Hashem, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty, until which is exalted above all blessing and praise. They were filled with wonder and laughed. During this time, the day became bright, they turned their heads and saw the entire wilderness covered in clouds of glory that shine and sparkle in a multitude of colors. And again, this verse is bringing additional verses from the writings, the Chronicles, or Divrei Chaimim, which gets translated as the Book of Chronicles, but it's really Words of Time is really a better translation. And these verses, I'm not seeing how they tie together, other than the Sephirot is very clearly mentioned, the seven Sephirot, in the one verse. Verse 2:14. Amru da del vada, vadai ku chabarifu, va'eli ishtabacha, v'tushbachta diradara, v'mad madbara dila hava, v'alma dara ila'a, v'dara da vila, yehe adiyete malka, Mashiach vaday kol madiach kibay lan kuchabarifu lahava elah v'gim li'oda alan tavivu dimarehon alayhu li'oda adi'it lon hulakatava Inun bae alma diate, ulzim na diate, tad yokim kuchabarifu, meta yazimimin, ilain liachaya bekad meta, tada ayahu, metecha, the ilain, inun dara de matara. One said to the other, certainly the Holy One, blessed be He, wishes to be praised with praises of the generation of the wilderness. Since there never existed such a lofty generation as that generation, and there will not be until the coming of King Messiah. Certainly all that we are shown by the Holy One, blessed be He, was only to inform us about their Master's great love for them, to let us know that they have a good portion and merit the world to come. In the future, when the Holy One, blessed be He, will revive the dead, these, the wilderness generation, will be destined to rise first. As it says, the dead men of your people shall live. That refers to the generation of the wilderness. That's the end of the section. It's describing how the people who died in the desert were haughty. It's relating them to that haughtiness, the mistake that they made in speaking badly about the land, but in really being concerned with their own survival, their own position. That's what the tourists, or the spies, whichever way you wish to translate the word, tour. This is what they did to themselves by allowing their egos and their excitement and their position to run to their heads and become the reason why they did things. That's why they brought back this bad report on the land. And that's why they were punished with death at the end of the 40 years, where they could not go into the land, and they had to pass away in the desert. Does anybody have any questions? I wish wish you all a beautiful, beautiful evening. And we will speak tomorrow at about the same time, where we will continue with our classes on Zohar.
Okay, thanks, Sanoke.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.